Okay, an introduction to myself first. My name is Iri Ryoki. I've been in EVE University for about 6 or 7 months now, and for all but 1 month of that, I've been flying out of the LOSEC campus. I joined the campus when it was based in Detroit and helped it move down to its current location in Upper Lont, so it's been interesting to see it grow from a abandoned little backwater to its current grandeur, which hopefully we're going to be adding you guys to later. Whilst I'm down there, I've mostly been flying PvE, but luckily I've got a couple of other current campers in the channel at the moment with me, so if you have any questions about PvP that I can't handle, they're going to step in and help me out with those. So thank you those of you who've shown up for that. Tazafki L has asked, are we going to do an actual roam later? What's going to happen during this class? I'm going to spend about 45 minutes, I think, talking you through what the LOSEC campus is all about. When that is finished, I'll be taking a travel fleet down to Upper Lont, the current LOSEC camp. And from there, we're going to meet our other local FCs who are going to take out some roams when we arrive. So there will be roaming later, firstly getting you to the LSE, and then hopefully going out once we get there. Okay, Magnaris, I'll come back to your question later. We're going to be covering all of that as we go through the class, all right? Okay, what I'm going to be running through with you today is first up a bit about what LOSEC is all about. I don't know whether any of you have been there before, but I chance are that some of you haven't. So we're just going to cover what LOSEC is, how it's different to HiSEC. We're going to do some about the camp itself and what goes on down there. And then a little bit about how to live in LOSEC and how you can minimize the risks to yourself and what you need to look out for that's going to cause you trouble. Once I've been through all of those things, I'm going to do a very bit of basic Fleet 101 with you guys, just so that people know what's going on when we're traveling, and then we'll take you down there afterwards. Just as a bit of covering my own backside here, this is only the second class that I've run for EVE University, and I'm a little bit nervous. And when I get nervous, I tend to speed up. So if anyone finds that I'm going too fast at any point, just say it in class.euni, and I will slow down. Okay, first up, anyone who has never been to LOSEC before, please X up in class.euni. Okay, we have a fair few people Xing up in there, so I'll go through this from the very top with you. LOSEC stands for Low Security Space. It's the areas outside of the high security areas controlled by the main factions. The LOSEC is not too different in the big picture of things from high security space. The biggest difference that you're going to find is that there is no Concorde to back you guys up. When you go into low security, if anyone shoots you or you shoot anyone else, you're not going to get Concorde showing up to kill either of you. This means that while you're down there, players become a lot more responsible for their own security and safety, and you end up looking out for your friends and for your fleetmates a lot more than you do in HiSEC. If you look at your mapper, which you can get to in-game by pressing F10, any system you can see on there that is coming up as orange is going to be a low security system. They will all have security statuses between 0.4 and 0.1. Anything above 0.4 becomes a high security system, and all the normal rules come into play there. And anything that is 0.0 is nullsec or wormhole space. Okay. The biggest thing you're going to come up against in LOSEC is other people trying to kill you, and you trying to kill other people. So I hope that the majority of you are here today because you've got quite itchy trigger fingers, and you're looking to get out and get fighting with folks. The most important thing to understand about PvP in LOSEC, is the way the criminal flagging system is going to affect you. Just because you're not going to have the space police show up to kill you, it doesn't mean you're not going to get shot by somebody. So you have to learn how the suspect flags and everything else work. First up, just because there are no Concorde around, it doesn't mean you can shoot anybody indiscriminately. If you look at your own profile, or any profiles of people of anyone in the channel, you will see that each person has a security status listed against their name. If you want to open up someone's profile and have a quick for that, please. You can get their character info up just by clicking on their name in chat. Someone's security status is a value that's assigned to them by Concord, which shows how well or how badly this person has been behaving so far. If you attack anyone in HiSec, you will take a security status hit, but you're probably going to be more concerned with the fact that Concord are shooting you at the time. If you go around attacking people indiscriminately in LowSec, you are still going to take a security status hit, so you can't just attack anybody. EVE University has a reasonably strict policy in that your security status cannot drop below 0.0 whilst you're in the university. If you go into any negative numbers, you risk either losing your titles and having to work your way back up, or being kicked from the corp entirely. So, don't just go around shooting dudes. General good advice. What we're looking for when we're in, LowSec, is people who are willing to try and shoot us first, or people who are the bad guys. We're going to talk very quickly about the flagging system that's going to come into play, that's going to let us know what's going on down there. Firstly, if you fire at anybody, and this is true wherever you are, you have a 60-second weapons timer activate, and you'll see this when you shoot anything coming up in the top left-hand corner of your screen. It's a little circular icon of green color that ticks down for 60 seconds. This is something that you should all be used to by now. When your weapons timer is active, you will not be able to dock and you will not be able to go through jump gates. If you're working in HiSec, it's probably not become a big issue for you, but this is going to come up for us later, so just bear it in mind. You've probably also seen people in local who have had flashy skulls either in red or in yellow next to their names. And these are people who have been tagged either as a suspect or as a criminal. The rules for what makes someone suspect or criminal are different between HiSec and LowSec. In HiSec, attacking anybody will make you a criminal immediately. This is flashing red. And you're going to get shot on sight by Concord and by other players. In LowSec, it's a bit more lenient. If you shoot at another player, you're only going to get suspect tag, which is the flashing yellow skull, unless you're attacking somebody's pod, and attacking a pod will immediately make you criminal status as well. Either way, when you're in LowSec base, being tagged either as a suspect or as a criminal means that any other player can shoot at you freely. You've just made yourself the number one target in the system if you're tagged. It is also worth bearing in mind that once you are tagged as a suspect or criminal, any gate guns that are around and any station guns that are around are going to shoot at you whilst you're on grid with them. And just because Concord aren't going to show up, if you happen to be sitting near a stationary security gun, it's still going to be attacking you. This is a nice protection for you guys. It makes it slightly safer to be around stations and around gates, because if anyone does just attack you indiscriminately, they're going to start taking damage from the station and gate guns. But it is also worth bearing in mind that a sufficiently well-tagged ship, and you can probably manage it in a battlecruiser or above, is going to be able to tank the gate guns indefinitely, and you can't rely on them being able to blap the person off the field for you. The suspect and criminal flags will both last for 15 minutes, so if someone has attacked you and they've gone flashy, you can chase them around for a whole 15 minutes and try and kill them before they get to get away from you. There is one other flashy status that people will find themselves in, which is what we call perma-flashy, and this is when their security status has dropped below -5, at which point they can be engaged by anyone, anywhere, without repercussion. So assuming you have your overview set up to the EVE University standards, anything that's coming up flashy is a target for you to be shooting at whilst you're in LowSec. It is worth bearing in mind that the LowSec camp and university in general has some rules on who you can and can't engage when you're in different areas of space. In LowSec, we still cannot engage neutrals. We can only shoot people who are flashy status to us, or people who are marked as -5 or -10 to the university. You will swiftly find that if you end up attacking anyone, not only will you get shot by all the locals, but you'll be getting in trouble with the university management as well. If you bear with me one second, I'm just going to find a quick link for our rules of engagement. Sorry, I should have said as well, if you have any questions as we're going, please just type them in class.euni and I'll answer them as we're going along. I will also be doing a bit of a Q&A as we're going through the fleet later, just to pass the time. Thank you for a day. That's exactly what I was after.
No problem, mate.
So yeah, if everyone can click on the link that Verdade has just put in the channel for us, you can see in LoSec who we can and cannot engage. Obviously, blues are off limits unless you're being shot at first. But in LoSec, you also can't attack neutrals. It's only hostiles, flashies, or war targets. It's also worth bearing in mind that if one of your friends has accidentally gone suspect or criminal, if you try and help them either by repping them or by attacking their target, you're also going to make yourself suspect or criminal. So whilst it might be fun to be a bad guy, you're going to get yourself in trouble pretty quickly. There is one other term that gets thrown a lot at the LoSec camp, which is saying that somebody is a banana. And this confused the hell out of me when I first started. Is a banana, it means they have a secure datus that is somewhere between minus 0.1 to minus 4.9. So they are not positive security status, but they're not yet neg 5 or security status and have made themselves perma-flashy. These people are not engageable targets unless they choose to shoot you first, at which point they do become flashy and they're free game. Because LoSec is otherwise similar to HiSec, what you do there is largely up to you. You can come down, you can do missions, and everything else, and we'll get onto that in a little while. It's worth bearing in mind, the big difference you're going to have is the Concorde are not coming to back you up, so you need to get on top of these flashy statuses, work out who's going to be a danger to you. Does anyone have any questions at this stage? Okay. It is worth pointing out that I've mentioned a couple of different numerical statuses here. Someone's security status is not the same as their standing to the university, and this is something that people trip up on occasion. Someone's security status is what's going to make them perma-flashy to you, or it's going to let you know when you check on the names whether they're likely to be a bad guy or a good guy. Someone's standing set by the university is something entirely different. So if you see people with a negative, an orange negative or a red negative next to their names, they are university standings and not security standings. Security standings you can only get from the person's character information screen. Okay, moving on. We've discovered that LoSec itself is pretty much the same as HiSec, just with the added danger of people trying to shoot you and you trying to shoot other people. So I'm going to talk very quickly about what the LoSec camp is hoping to achieve. We are, first and foremost, a learning institution, as is the rest of the university. So when you come down there, please expect to find a bunch of other people on hand who may not know entirely what they're doing. Most of us are pretty good at it by now, though, and they're all going to be very helpful trying to get you settled and get your feet on the ground. Whilst it is listed as a university event, it is not an event in the way that a fleet or an organized one-off event is, in that there is going to be no one there who is leading you the entire time. There's no permanent FC, and there's not necessarily anybody in charge at any given point. We do have some staff at the LSC. I'm just going to link a couple of them for you so you can see who to look out for if you've got any questions. First up, Clive Runner is the head honcho at the LSC. He is the one who is in charge of everything. He is the current events manager, so he has the final say in what's going to go on at the campus. If he's asking you to do something, please hop to it, because he probably knows what he's talking about. And next up, there are four event liaisons, who are Clive Runner's right-hand men. I'm just going to put those into the channel for you. Okay, so we have Aaron Dar, Atlo Wolffriend, Romnir Korba, and Stikaz. These four people are old-time LSE campers. They have a very good grasp on what's going on in LOSEC, and they're often very eager to help out new people and to get events organized. Next up, the LSE Hangar Officer. Promised me he was going to show up today and hasn't. I'll have words with him later. Is Rashar Arji. If you have any questions about what's available in the campus hangars, or if you want to get something shipped in, here's the person to talk to. And finally, our production officer, Azra Hakari. And Azra makes all of the items that are produced for the LSC, including ammunition and ship holes down there. So if there's, again, something that Rashar can't stock or won't stock for whatever reason, it's possible Azra will be able to make it for you, so he's a good person to know. If you have any questions about the campus, these are probably the guys you want to come to first. To be honest though, you can ask anybody and we'll do our best to point you in the right direction. Okay. Because there is no permanent FC and no permanent organization down at the LOSEC camp, there is a degree when you get there of doing what you like, and the camp will, you get the most out of it if you are self-motivated and if you know what you want to do before you get there. If you just turn up and you're hoping for someone to take your hand and take you out to do things, you're probably not going to be doing much a lot of the time. Perhaps the best way to think of the LOSEC campus is like a support network. It's a group of people who are all in the same situation as you, trying to do the same things as you, and they all know, as you do, that what they're doing is somewhat dangerous, so if someone gets in trouble, they're going to be there to have your back. It's very important for that reason to get into the LSC chat and get onto Mumble and Fleet, but we'll come onto those a little bit later, just so people can come and help you out if you do need it. For people to join the LOSEC campus, there is no current application system. You just fly on down, and there is no title requirement. We used to require people to be a freshman before they arrived, but that has been removed recently to try and encourage some more people to get on down. So there is no reason for anyone on this channel not to come with us later if you feel like it. And while this has changed a little bit lately, compared to some of the other campuses, the LOSEC campus probably has a slightly smaller membership, or at least a slightly smaller regular membership. So if you're having trouble finding people to help you out in other places, the LOSEC camp has quite a tight-knit feel to it, and there are good opportunities to make friends and meet some people who are going to help you out down there. Because everything that's available in HiSec is available to you in LOSEC, what you do in the camps, you say, is basically up to you. What you will find with most activities is that when you're doing them in LOSEC, you're going to get slightly more back for it. Greater risk is greater reward in EVE. You can run missions, and we have Federal Navy mission agents all around the current LSC. They can take you from level 1 to level 5 missions within about 2 jumps from us. The mission rewards are slightly higher than you'll pick up if you're doing the missions in HiSec. With level 1s and 2s, it's not particularly noticeable. But as you move up into the more difficult missions, you'll see that the rewards you're getting back are more and more above what you would get for an equivalent mission in HiSec. LOSEC is also fantastic for explorers, because the value of the loot that you're going to pick up from the sites is that much higher than the stuff you get from HiSec. So if you're a budding explorer and you're not quite brave enough to go out into Nullsec or Wormhole space yet, LOSEC is a very good place to hone your skills for that, and you can rack up quite a lot of money in a short space of time if luck is on your side. There are also the standard combat anomalies for people to go and run. We do have fleets that go out from the LSC now and again, just running combat anomalies. But it's worth bearing in mind that while you're doing these, and whilst you're doing missions, you need to be keeping an eye open for other people coming into the system who are going to be dangerous for you. There is, of course, the other, well, in terms of fighting, ratting. If you don't know what ratting is, this is jumping around between the asteroid belts in a system and the gates, trying to find somewhere where some NPC pirates have spawned, and then killing the pirates for loot and money and profit. There is a special kind of ratting that can only happen in LOSEC, which is called, it's looking for clone soldiers. And clone soldiers are a kind of NPC that don't spawn anywhere but low-sec systems. They tend to have higher than average attack and defensive skills, so you probably won't be doing this with other people to start with. But they have the opportunity of dropping clone soldier tags, which are a special type of security tag, which are selling currently for between about 25 and 40 million a piece. So if you can find some clone soldiers, you're going to be rolling in the money quite quickly. And there is, of course, mining and planetary interaction also going on. Because of the extra danger involved in doing these things in low-sec, you'll often find that the resources are not as contested as they would be elsewhere, and that you're going to find a better quality resources as well. So for people who are keen on doing some mining and PI, it's a pretty good place to be. It's also worth pointing out that you can do it without the danger of bubbles and smart bombs and everything else that you're going to get if you try and do this in null. OKZ asks, where am I gathering for the travel fleet? I will be leaving from Aldrat when we've finished, but we will be passing through Heck on the way, so either Aldrat or Heck is a good place to be if you want to get on the travel fleet. Okay, next up, a little about the PvP you can do while you're at the low-sec camp. Whilst we aren't able to engage anyone that we feel like due to the rules of engagement and the fact that we can't go down to negative security status, the current LSC is located in a faction warfare area, so we're already in a location that is quite active in terms of PvP. For those of you who haven't come across faction warfare before, it is an activity that the university itself can't engage in, but where players take sides of either Galente, Minmatar, Amar, or Kaldari. And then there are certain systems in low-sec that are defined as faction warfare zones, where the Galente and Kaldari and the Amar and Minmatar can go at each other, trying to capture strongholds and tactical points around the map, whilst trying not to get shot by the opposing team's forces. What this means is that there are some locations where you are guaranteed to find other players a lot of the time, and you're guaranteed to find other players who are probably spoiling for a fight or looking to kill someone. I think one of the LSC's favourite pastimes is rolling through the faction warfare areas, looking for these people, sitting on the spots they need to get to, and then catching them when they arrive or waiting for them to try and catch us, and surprising them with how marvellously competent we are. As well as that, we send out small gang roams just looking around the area, looking for people who have gone flashy to hunt down and kill. We are a little bit like the space police in our current low-sec area because we can only shoot the flashy people or the people that choose to engage us first, so consider it a public service whenever you have someone who's flashing at you. We do on occasion set up gate camps, especially if we're trying to hunt someone in particular who we know is coming in a certain direction, but it's not something that we do a massive amount down there. And one of the biggest things we have going on is solo PvP engagements. Gantgirl, who's in the channel at the moment, is setting up a PvP training academy for one-on-one fight, and we have people going out as well looking just for a single other person to test their fit out against, or just to get into a scrap and see what happens. It's not all about blobbing the person that we're up against. Gank, without meaning to put you on the spot, do you want to say a bit about your classes while you're here?
I don't have my microphone and stuff at the moment.
Okay, don't worry about it. There is a forum post for Gank Girls activity, and we'll find that for you later, or if someone's paying attention and wants to go and have a quick look now, that would be good. Okay, a lot of the PvP that we do out of the low-sec campus is focusing on small and mobile fleets. We have a bit of a reputation as being the small gang campus, and it's not necessarily untrue. We often go out in groups of between 3 and 7 people, as opposed to the massive fleets that often get fielded by the rest of the university. It's a very good place to go if you want to learn how to fly frigates fully, as we do lots of frigate roams, and we do some cruiser and desi roams as well. We don't very often put out anything above these classes of ship, mainly because it makes us a reasonably juicy target in local, especially because we can't fire first in some cases. And as well as that, because the people down the LSC are often reasonably new to the university and new to EVE, so we don't want to go wasting everybody's money by getting their ships shot. Randarn Quinn asks, how far outside of Uplont do people in the LSE generally go, and does it matter? The entire Placid Faction Warfare area and Losek area is reasonably open to everybody, Randarn. There is no hard and fast rule about how far you are allowed to go from the Losek campus. It's really up to you and up to FC. Sorry? Okay, I think someone was keying up by accident there. The LSE rules do state that if you're going more than two jumps outside of the LSE, you should consider making a different fleet or a different mumble channel so you don't disturb the other people. But this is something that's played a little bit loosely, and you often find that if there's a room going on, the majority of the LSE are on it, and the people who aren't don't really mind listening in, just they can hear what's going on. This is a rule that was more relevant when we were living out of Dredrada, because now we're in Uplont, there are only three other low-sec systems within two jumps of us, and we generally have to traverse through those to get to the rest of the faction warfare space. So I guess in answer to your question, it doesn't matter how far you go, it's entirely up to you. But if you're moving too far away, considering setting up a different roaming fleet rather than using the LSC fleet to do it. Magnaris Arctic asks, how often can you expect pirates to be around? The answer, Magnaris, is basically all the time. It's a reasonably well-known fact down in Placid that the LSE camps out of Uplont, so we'll often get people coming down there trying to find us in particular because they think we're juicy targets, and they also know that our rules of engagement mean that we can't engage them unless they choose to engage us or unless they do something stupid first. The system Ostingale, two jumps from us, also seems to be a very active PvP zone, so if you're ever stuck for anything to do, you can go to Ostingale and you'll probably find yourself at fights. Or just generally walking around the faction warfare areas, you're going to find a lot of people who are spoiling for a brawl. It's what people do faction warfare for. If you're asking in terms of whether it's safe to do PvP with so many pirates around, it's largely dependent on the systems you go to. I was going to talk about it a bit later, but I'll skip onto it now, which is checking on .lan, which is a mapping piece of software, finding out where people are likely to be. Give me one second, I'll just find a link to .lan for us. Fadade, you're too quick off the mark for me. Thank you. Okay. What Fadade has linked you to is a map of Placid focused on Uplont. Is there anyone here who's not seen .lan before? X up if you haven't. Okay, .lan is going to be very useful for you if you're considering coming down to the Losek campus. As you can see, the map that Fadade has linked us to is a map of the Placid systems, showing you how many ships of pods have been destroyed in each system within the last hour. For each system you can see, the first number that's in there is how many ships have been destroyed, the number r/ is how many pods have been destroyed. So just looking at it quickly, can anyone take it to where in Placid is the most dangerous place to be in the last hour based on ship and pod kills? That's right, Barlagut, or Barlagut, have you say it? Barlagut is actually the home of one of our neighbouring corps, and it's generally not a good place for us to go because they will blob you with about 100 if you try going there. For what it's worth, if you're looking at these maps, the systems that are ringed with the green circle are high-sec systems. So you can see near Uplont we have Slays and Stackmon that are near us. The systems that are ringed with a dotted red line are low-sec systems. So for us to get into where we're going, we often end up moving north from Uplont through Dastrins and Ostingale, then out through Agoze and up into the systems that way. Any system that has the pink half-circle coming on the side of it is a faction warfare system, so they're definitely the places that you want to be looking if you're searching for a fight. The flip side is, of course, if you're looking to do some PvE and not get disturbed by anyone, you can use this map to see where no one has been dying in the last period of time, and where it's probably reasonably safe for you to go. If you look along the top bar above the map, you'll see that there's a drop-down menu saying Ship Pod Kills at the moment. If you hit that drop-down and change it to jumps, you can also see how many people have been jumping in and out of these systems. It's another very good indicator of where is quiet and where is not quiet. So again, if you want to switch to your jumps in the last hour, and then if someone can tell me where looks like a safe place to go and do some PvE at the moment. Xanthrax Mandragon asks, can't you see the same on the in-game map? You can see all this information on the in-game map, but Dotland presents it in such a fashion that it's a lot easier to read and it's a lot easier to navigate on Dotland. Plus you can have it up in the background and switch to it when you need to. If you prefer to do it using the in-game map, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but I personally enjoy using Dotland. That's correct. Payne at the moment has said only 4 jumps in and out in the last hour. Jeez, it's probably a reasonably safe place for you to go and do something if you don't want to get shot at. Mark Rain asks, is either the Star map or Dotland updated faster? The map is going to be updated faster than Dotland is, Mark, but I think the difference is so negligible that it's not going to be really worth worrying about. Randan Quinn asks, how can you tell what the colours mean on Dotland? Depending on which option you currently have selected from that drop-down at the top, the current colours will be meaning slightly different things. If you have selected something where there is a numerical value, such as ship kills in the last hour, or jumps in the last hour, white means there are none or few, and red means there are lots. So it progresses through white, green, yellow, orange, and red as the number gets higher. This means it's pretty easy for you to pick out where there have been lots of jumps or lots of kills, because they'll be glowing bright red on the map. One of the other things that may be worth looking at while you're on there, in the drop-down where it says jumps, is selecting security. That is up near the top of the list. In this instance, the colours change to show you the sec state, or the security status, of the systems. So you can see Uplont is 0.2. It's coming up as a reasonably light orange. But as you move through Aegis, Dastrinese, Ostingale, and out towards Barligut, you'll see it gets darker the more dangerous the system is, and lighter the less dangerous, or at least the higher security rating the system has. Okay. Just jumping back to the subject of PvP for just a second. I mentioned towards the end that there is a fair amount of solo roaming that goes on. We'll organise one-on-one fights between Unistas just so they can try out their fits and get some practice doing what they want to do. EVE University will always respect a one-on-one fight if both sides are sticking to it, so it's not unknown for our Unistas one-on-one fight with some local pirates just so they can get some practice. This is not a good excuse for other people from the low-sec camp to plop the guy having a one-on-one fight just to get a kill. It's not good form, and it upsets everyone involved. The only time we would do this is if that person decides to blob us first, and then we'll just get a bigger blob and land on their heads, which is always good fun. So yeah, in general, in low sec, you can do whatever you like. It's basically the same as what you can do in high sec. The only difference is that you need to have your wits about you a bit more. You need to be patient. And it's a very good advice to look before you leap. If you just blast into doing something without paying attention to what's going on around you, you're lucky to get yourself shot. Which brings us on to the next section, which is how to live in low sec. Before I go into that, are there any questions? Okay. The first thing that's worth saying about living in Losec is that you're going to struggle to buy things on the station you're at. The markets in Losec are going to have very little stuff in them compared to the markets you're used to seeing in Highsec, especially some of the bigger trade hubs. This is mainly because it's dangerous for people to fly freighters full of stuff down to Losec because they're going to get shot by the people waiting for them on the other side of the gate. Upalon isn't doing too badly at the moment because all the LSC staff and students are dropping off bits and pieces there if they can't be bothered to take them somewhere else. But we do have a nearby minor trade hub in the form of Stackmon, which is the closest high-sec system and only two jumps out from the LSC. The closest major trade hubs to us are Dodixie at 11 jumps and Jeeta at 16 jumps. And it's worth pointing out that all the route distances I'll give you are going to be by the shortest route, not the safest route. Now you're in Losec, you shouldn't be using the safest route because that's for wimps or haulers. And I should point out that is my own personal point of view, not the official view of the Losec camp. The Losec camp does operate a couple of hauling services, none of them official at the moment, but if you look on our forums, you'll see there are a number of players who are willing to bring stuff down for you, at least as far as Stackmon in their freighters, where they can drop it off and you can then pick it up and pay them what you owe them. So it's not a massive problem getting stuff down to us, but it's worth bearing in mind that you're not going to have right to hand the stuff you need immediately. You're going to have to go a couple of jumps for it. This has bred a bit of a... Well, I don't want to say problem, but an issue for us sometimes in that some people have decided that rather than bringing all their things to the Losec camp in Upalon, they're dumping all of their things in Stackmon because that's where the trade's at. This is a reasonably bad idea in my opinion, mainly because you're supposed to be coming to the LSC so you can learn how to live in Losec. And if you're having to run back to Highsec every time you want to change ships or swap a gun out or pick up some more ammunition, you're not really getting into the proper swing of things. But there's also the fact that Stackmon is two jumps away, which means that if something goes down in Losec, there is someone on grid who's causing us problems, or we're out chasing somebody, you've got to go four jumps round trip to change your ship. And you're going to be turning up when the person dies too late to have had any impact on what's going on. So bring all your stuff down to Upalon and live out of Losec. Yeah, a couple of the guys from the LSE speaking up there in the chat channel saying they've had exactly that problem. Or seen exactly that problem. We do, however, have some corp hangers down in Upalon, which are organised the same as the ones in Aldrat. There is Alpha and Theta hangers that are going to be open to sophomores and to freshmen. And they have just recently reopened after we suffered a reasonably major theft from them. So they're a little bit low on stock at the moment. But you guys can help yourselves with the things in there if you just need a quick fix to swap out and get your ship working again. It also means it's reasonably nice if you are coming back from a roam and you've picked up some loot and you don't know what to do with it, you think it's not worth selling, it's not worth the money, dump it in the deposit and donations hangar for us and we'll sort it out. We can give it back to someone else who needs it more than you do.
But please repair it and repackage it before you put it in there.
Yep, repair it and repackage it. Otherwise you get hunted down by Gant Girl. Okay, Oikazios just said in channel, everyone needs to have at least one Tag or Frigate down in the LSC, and a damage cruiser if you've got the skills to fly it. This is pretty good advice. The one thing that we elude enemies to is when they can just walk away from us because no one has a tackle frigate handy. Each race has a T1 frigate that is designed for tackling. It's the Slasher for the Minmatar. I'm not sure off the top of my head what it is for the other races because I don't fly them. But if you can bring those down, it takes less than 500,000 probably to fit out. And they're going to make you the hero. When the thing's about to jump out, you land on grid and you get a disruptor or a scram on it and they can't get away. Everyone gets to burn them down and gets a nice kill on their kill board. Yuki Hilarion asks, are there any manufacturing alts or the like that can build chips and modules that we could use in the corp hangers? Yuki, it's up to the individual LSC or what they do in that regards. I don't think anyone has an official alt that's used by the LSC for that purpose. I know a number of people do have alts that live in Upalon and serve reasonably similar purposes to that. Thank you, Xanthrax and Oikaze. The other tackle frigs for the races are the Atron for the Galente, the Condor for the Caldari, and the Executioner for the Amar. and they only require you to have your racial frigate at one to fly them, so there is no excuse for anyone not to be at least reasonably comfortable sat in one of those. Yuki, did that answer your question okay? Cool. Alright then, some good ideas on how to stay alive in LoSec. First up, don't trust anybody who is not in your corp. Things that were non-issues in HiSec, such as jumping through a gate and finding 7 people sat on the other side just orbiting, are big, big problems and big dangers when you come to LoSec, because anybody there can shoot you at any time and probably get away with it. It does mean that if you see anyone landing on grid with you unexpectedly, assume the worst. Assume that they're going to try and engage you, attack you, and you want to get out of there as soon as possible. It may not always be the case, but it's going to save your life more times than it wastes your time. Good ways to keep an eye on what's going on around you involve just watching your local window. You can see in local how many other people are in system with you. If you're alone, you're probably reasonably safe, unless you do something catastrophically wrong. But if you've got other people in there with you, it's worth having a check on them and seeing what they're up to. I'd recommend when you come in, if you're looking to avoid a fight with people, double-click on all the names in local, see what their corp is, see what their security status is at. If you have a bunch of people who are all in the same corp, you've probably stumbled into what they regard as their territory, and they may not take too kindly to you flying in and making a fuss in there. Or you may have stumbled across a roam that's going through the area, and you probably want to keep your head down and keep out their way, unless you're already after a scrap. You can also tell from the sex status if someone has a very high positive sex status. They're clearly not engaging that many people in LoSec, because otherwise their status would have dropped. Whereas if you find someone with a low security status or a negative one, they are more likely people who are going to engage you, because their status is already low enough, they've been doing it before, they've been basically baddies. It is also worth, once you've had a look at all the people's names in local, click on one of them, and then press Ctrl and A on your keyboard, and you will highlight everybody in that list. This in the class.euni as well. You will see the entire list of names lights up, slightly lighter grey than the grey behind it. And what will happen when someone new walks into the system, their name will appear on the list highlighted, so you can very quickly see when someone new has come in and have a check on who they are and what they're likely to be up to. The final bit of advice for watching local is that if you see the number of people in local suddenly going up, we call this a local spike. This is a sure sign of a roam of people going through, looking for fights, or travelling from one place to another, and it's probably a good idea to get to a station and dock up until they've left. Everyone with me so far? Okay, the next tool I'm going to talk about to try and keep you safe is the D-Scan. Could people who have never used the D-Scan X up in fleet so I can see what sort of level we're at? It's also giving us a perfect demonstration of names showing up who are not highlighted so you can see what they look like. Okay, the D-Scan is similar to your grid scanner. Well, kind of. Unfortunately, you can't activate it in a station, so I can't show you right this second unless you want to undock and have a go with this. It functions like, I guess, echolocation coming from your ship. If you press Alt and D while you're in space, it will bring it up. And you will see you have a couple of options there to set a range that you want to scan and the angle that you want to scan at. When you press the scan button, or when you change the range, it will trigger a pulse coming from your ship that will find anything that is in space within the range that you have set and bring you back a list of results showing you what is there. And this is something we can try while we're out doing the travel fleet later, so if you're not undocked doing it now, don't worry too much about it, you can ask again. The D-scan is very useful for you because you can use it to get an idea of who is where and how close they are to you. The one thing it doesn't show you is which pilot is in which ship. You'll just be able to see ship types and names of ships that they have chosen. Yep, as 1-2 says, there is a D-scan 102 class that the EV University runs. It is well worth doing that if you get the opportunity to. It's a very good class and the people who teach it are very hot on this stuff. You will hear people talking about short D-scans versus long D-scans, and each have their place. If you want to get your D-scan to the longest range that is possible, just type all nines in the field, and it will shorten it down to something like 2,140,000 something kilometers, which is the longest it can do, which equates to about 14.1 AU in space. If you scan this, you will see everyone who is anywhere remotely near you, which gives you a good idea of what is in space in the system as a whole. If you lower your D-scan range to something like a couple of 100,000 kilometers, you can then get an idea of people who are extremely close to you, or people who might be moving towards you at high speeds. This is very useful for people, because you can then see, you get a couple of seconds warning before this person lands on grid with you, you can start aligning and start getting out. Because you have to pulse this every time you want to activate it, if you think you are in danger, you should be hitting the D-scan every 5 to 10 seconds, so you can keep a very close eye on what is happening around you. The other thing you can change is the angle of the D-scan. By leaving this at 360 degrees, you will get everything around you. Or you can lower it to 180 or lower degrees and start narrowing down which part of space this person is in. I have a recommendation from Oyakazi that it should be more like 5 seconds than 10, which is fair enough. Actually, I'll tell you what, for those of you who have never touched the D-scan before, I'm just going to undock from Aldrat. If you're in Aldrat, give me a few seconds to warp somewhere, and then we'll have a quick play around with this and see if people can pick out where I am. Apologies to those of you that know this back to front. Okay, I am now in space and at a location. For those of you that want to give this a quick try, I will link my ship name for you so you can see me on D-scan. So, undock from Aldrat, press Control D on your keyboard, and then if it's on the probe scanner tab, switch to the directional scanner. If you set that to maximum range, an angle of 360 degrees, and press the scan button, you'll hopefully see somewhere on there my ship name showing up amongst the others. Everybody got that? If you're trying it and can't see me, do you want to wake up in fleet? And we'll see what the problem is. And just double check for those who have seen me. Oh, there we go. I was going to ask what kind of ship I was flying, but Jua's got it correct. I'm in a stiletto at the moment. What we aren't going to try, because it's going to take too long, is playing with the angle. You can see with your angle thing, you can narrow down your targeting range quite considerably. And you should find that if you drop it to about 15 degree angle, and point it towards Aldrat 9, Asteroid Belt 7, you should find that you can still see me, whereas if you move it and point it anywhere else, you won't be able to. I'm not going to spend too much more time on this because it takes a long time to go through it properly, and for those people who do know it, probably going to bore them to tears if we do this for too long. But if people have questions about D-Scan afterwards, by all means, I'll be hanging around after the class and you can ask me then. Okay, the next thing you're going to want to do when you're in LOSEC to try and keep yourself safe is bookmark, bookmark, bookmark. Having bookmarks everywhere is going to be a very good thing for you. Again, we can do a bit of a practical on this when we get the LSC if you want to. I believe there are a couple of people who are willing to go out and show people how to do this properly. So I'm just going to talk very quickly about the types of bookmark that people have. Firstly, bookmarks around stations. The first ones you're going to want to set up are an instant dock bookmark and an instant undock bookmark for your favorite station of choice. The instant dock is to avoid people shooting you when you arrive on grid, but before you get within docking range of your station. What you'll want to do to set up an instant docking bookmark is warp to your station, then fly as close up to it as you possibly can do, stop your ship, and drop a bookmark. In future, rather than warping to the station, you can then warp to your bookmark and then instantly dock without having to wait for your ship to slowboat into the docking range. As Oikaze says in the channel, fly it so that you are 0 degrees from the station. Okay, his advice is to fly so you're within 0 from the station, but otherwise stay as far away as you can to avoid bumping off of it. If you put yourself too close to the station, when you come out of warp, you'll still be moving. And if you hit the side of the station, you're going to bounce back off. If you're not quick at pressing the dock button, you will find that you bounce back outside of this docking radius. I suppose it's better than hitting the side of the station and exploding, but it's still not fantastic. Ferdade asks, is it better to put it above or below? My personal opinion is that it doesn't matter too much, but other people may have different opinions on that. I'll let them speak up in the class one too. Actually, I should ask, does everyone here know how to make marks? Yep, for those who didn't, Magnarus has got it right in the channel. You go to your People and Places tab, the Places tab within it, and then click Add Location at the bottom, and it drops a bookmark exactly where you are. It is worth saying that when you do add location at the bottom, it will bring up another window saying what you want to call it and where do you want to save it. And it's not until you confirm in that second window that the bookmark is dropped. So if you are still moving when you drop it, it's not going to be exactly where you want it to be unless you're pretty clever with it. Okay, the second kind of bookmark, the instant undock. This is to stop you undocking from your station while you're aligning to wherever you want to go, being shot by someone who is sitting on the doorstep waiting for you. The instant undock is a bookmark that is in a straight line from the undock of your station, so as soon as you come out, you can go into warp in a straight line forwards without having to bother moving around and aligning to where you want to go. These are a little bit trickier to set up. I'd recommend that you get help from someone either at the LSC or one of the other teachers or from me after this class if you want to know more up. But I'm not going to go through how to set them up now because it does take a little bit of time to get it right. Once you have your insta-dock and your instant undock set up, you also want to think about some on and off-grid tacticals around your station and around the gates in the system that you're in. An on-grid tactical is something that is within about 300 kilometers of the station or of the Stargate. It is something where the object or celestial you are after is still on grid with you. You can still see it in your overview on the right-hand side, and the model is showing up in space. The idea of an on-grid tactical is so that if people are running around outside the station, they're flying out of your range and so on, you might have an on-grid tactical that is right next to where they're sitting, thinking they're safe, and you can jump to them and shoot them. Or if someone is doing shooting at you, you can quickly warp away to somewhere else, but stay on-grid with them. It's a very good way of escaping from being shot. As Oyakaze has said, for stations, the grid tends to be bigger, so maybe 4 to 4.5 hundred kilometers from the stations. An off-grid tactical is a very similar thing. You want to stay somewhat near the station, but you want to fly away from it to such an extent that it vanishes from your overview and it vanishes from space. So you have left the grid of that station. These are very good. So you can warp to your off-grid tactical. Anyone who's at the station won't be able to see you. You are too far away for them to see what you're doing. But you know in what direction the station is, and you know how far away it is, so you can set up your D-scan to have a look at what's going on at the station before you arrive on grid. This is a very good way of getting eyes on people without them being able to necessarily know exactly where you are. Again, there are whole classes dedicated to how to bookmark properly, so I'm going to move on pretty quickly through them. Next up, I'm going to mention is a mid-safe. And these are something you can practice making while we're traveling later. Mid-safe is where you're warping between two locations in space, so a planet and a stargate, or a station and a stargate, or two planets, or anything else. And halfway along the warp, you drop a bookmark. So it's a long way away from either of the two things, but you are on a straight line between two celestial objects. The idea of the mid-safe is primarily to help you build a more secure kind of safe, which are called unaligned safe spots. An unaligned safe spot is where you've warped to your mid-safe, so you're halfway between two celestials, where anyone could accidentally bump into you. And from your mid-safe, you've then warped somewhere else, giving you a second point that is not in line with anything in particular. It is probably not worth considering your mid-safe actually that safe, because anyone who walks between the same two celestials as you will have a chance to see you as they're going past, however briefly, and that will give away your position, whereas an unaligned safe is reasonably safe. The best kind of safe spot you can create is what's called a deep safe. This is an unaligned safe spot that is more than 14.1 AU away from the nearest celestial. So people walking to planets and doing a longest range D-scan possible will never be able to pick you up because you are too far away for the D-scan to get you. Whereas in an unaligned safe, they might not be able to know exactly where you are. They will know vaguely where you are based on your distance from where they are. So, when you first get into the LSC, or when you're first moving through a system that you're going to use frequently in LOSEC, it is worth spending maybe an hour or 2 hours walking around the system, dropping off tons of bookmarks so you can get around quickly and safely when you need to. I won't ask questions now. Anne Turret-Stowell says, is it possible to deep safe in Upalont? Can you try that? I don't know if anyone else from the LSC wants to speak up either in chat or a mumble to let you know what they think. The easiest way to get a deep safe is often to do missions in the system, because the mission locations will not spawn in alignment with anything. And this is the same for Well, it's not quite the same for relic and data sites and other exploration sites. These sites will, for missions and for, as Oikaze says, incursions, will be more than 14 AU away from the celestials. For the data and relic sites and other exploration sites, it won't count as a deep safe, it will just be an unaligned safe spot, because they will always spawn within 4 AU of a planet. Oikaze, I think you mean they're going to be 16 AU, not 16 kilometers away from celestials, but yes. Okay, Darian N. Chistel asks, do planets revolve or move around the sun? Do moons revolve Or are all celestials stationary? The answer to that is they are all stationary. Once you set a bookmark at a celestial, it will be in the same place when you come back to it. You don't have to worry about the planet running away from you. Okay, moving quickly on. Other tips for staying alive is if you're doing missioning, or if you're doing combat anomalies, or if you're doing anything that involves fighting, is to fight aligned to somewhere that you can warp out to. In HiSec, it's very easy to go to a mission pocket, select your target, and select your orbit distance, and just orbit that target while you blast away at him, because no one is going to come and kill you. In LowSec, if you have people landing on grid with you, especially in larger and slower ships, it's going to take you a number of seconds to align to where you want to go, and in that time they'll have locked you up, and they'll have disrupted your warp drive so you can't get away. So when you're fighting people, when you arrive on grid, pick your target, then pick a celestial that is in the same direction as them, and align yourself to that celestial and fly in that direction. If someone lands on grid, you can then just hit warp, and you'll be straight away in warp. You won't have to turn around and try and find out where you're going first. Of course, if you fly past your enemy, and you're flying away from him, then turn around and find another celestial that is now behind him, and do the same again. And just keep moving between celestial alignments, so the second anything comes on grid that you don't want to fight, you can get out of there. Okay, we've spoken about .lan already, so I'll skip over that one. It is worth having your overview set up to the EVE University standards, mainly because this will give you access to your Podsaver tab. If you do get shot, when you get to the stage where you're in about one quarter hull, and it's very likely that you're going down, you probably want to be switching to your Podsaver tab before you get destroyed, so the second that you're out in your pod, you can pick something off of your Podsaver tab and walk to it before they can get points on your pod and nuke that as well. And finally, my biggest hint for everyone, if you want to stay alive, is get on the LSC Mumble, because the people on there will be able to come out and help you if you get stuck. And if you're trying to get in somewhere and you're not sure what's on the other side, you can ask, is anyone already there? Can anyone come and look at the other side of the station, or the other side of the Stargate, sorry, and make sure that it's clear for me? Because everybody has everybody's backs. So that's how we stay alive down there. And getting involved in Mumble is one of the best things you can do. Okay, I'm just going to mention very briefly a couple of other corp names that you're going to come across. These are our local pirates, people that if you come down to the LowSec campus, you're going to want to watch out for. These are Deadly Intent, Nocturnal Romance, Dot Repo, and Scum. I don't know if someone who's not speaking right now wants to link those corps for me. Basically, if you see any of these guys in SysMidU, they're not going to be your friends. They have a sort of pre-existing bad arrangement with us already, where we shoot them and they shoot us. So the chances are, if you can see them on local with you, or even worse, if you can see them on grid with you, you want to be getting out of there pretty quickly, unless you're spoiling for a fight. We have a report from Third Aid in chat channel. None of them are currently in Upper Launch, just to ruin our day. Okay, does anyone have any questions about anything that I've covered so far? This is kind of the end of the theory side of the class. What I'm going to go through next is a very basic overview of how to do fleets. If people have not been in a fleet before, it's useful for them to know the commands before they come traveling with. And then I'm going to look at launching the travel fleet into Upper Launch.